The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
They are not dead yet. And we are back from a sun-soaked Yankee Stadium.
Why'd you have to throw in the yet, dude?
Well, because I don't know how this is going to play out, and I think that's the beautiful thing about sports. All I know from last night at Yankee Stadium, being in the building, experiencing it, is that there is not a person alive, and we got a lot to get to, by the way. We'll get you set for Game 5. We'll talk about the ball snatchers from the right field corner last night. There is a lot to get to, and of course, we'll talk to you live from Yankee Stadium until 7:25. But we all need to be honest. In the building last night, when Freddie Freeman tucked one into the right field corner, when the Yankees got back-to-back walks in the bottom of the first inning, and failed to score, what else is new? When Anthony Volpe, who eventually became the hero, doesn't score from second on a 400-foot double, is there anybody who was in this building who thought the New York Yankees were going to win?
Forget being in the building. Any Yankee fan anywhere said, yep, that's a wrap. That's a good one. That was good. We'll see you next season. That's what it felt like.
How could you not, Tink?
Of course you could, because you couldn't. I mean, even Sterling, because I was listening to it on the radio. Sterling, like, oh, deep, it's long, it's gone. Freddie Freeman, he starts talking about the four consecutive home runs. Isn't it actually six if you go back to the last time he was in the World Series?
It is a new Major League record. He passed George Springer. He's hit a home run in six consecutive World Series games.
Exactly. So when you're listening to it on the radio, it's like, man, do I even want to listen to this anymore? Do I want to keep paying attention to this? You guys had to. Because you're sitting here probably feeling as despondent and dead as it was 2 days ago. But ultimately, it turned around. Thank goodness.
Well,
thank goodness that it was a bullpen game.
Look, that helped, and the Yankees had to take advantage of it. And look, I get it. The Dodgers didn't throw their best yesterday. That's not the Yankees' problem. Just like it wasn't their problem that the Royals and the Guardians weren't that good. You have to take advantage of what's in front of you. But what I saw last night, where I give this Yankee team a ton of credit, is last night wasn't easy. Last night was the same. The Yankees played a flawed-filled game. The Yankees failed with a lot of scoring opportunities, and they won anyway.
Yeah, they won anyways because Dave Roberts conceded down a run.
But it's more than that, bro.
I know it's not.
Because that's not fair.
Of course it's not. But it's the reality of what happened.
But you
could see it in Dave Roberts' face. He was like, all right, I'm going to give this game away.
But you got to take advantage of it.
Of course you got to take advantage of it. And the problem with Dave Roberts, and this is my issue with him now, is that you gave the Yankees life. Yes, they were off to a running start because Anthony Volpe goes and it's a grand slam and they're up two runs and it feels like, oh, this is the Yankees' time. But they slowly started picking their way back into it, the Dodgers, until they just conceded. And the last thing you want to do.
I disagree with the word.
Hold on. The last thing you want to do with a team like the Yankees that have been dormant is let them wake up. Right? If you're going to kill them, kill them.
Right.
Step on their throat. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
The Dodgers could have continued to try to do that. Instead, Dave Roberts said, you know what? I'm saving my bullpen because I don't want to exhaust it all before, and just in case I can't win this game. You got to win every game.
But he did that against the Mets in the
NLCS. I understand it. I'm just saying it's a flawed philosophy. Well, look, it can work against the Mets. It might not work against the Yankees, especially when Garrett Cole is the starting pitcher today.
You definitely gave the Yankees life. You definitely gave the Yankees more of an opportunity. But the Yankees had to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the first inning against Ben Kasperius, they had 2-1 and one out, and they didn't score. It was more of the same.
Yep.
Like, I'm sitting here at Yankee Stadium, and believe it or not, I was moseying around for the first four innings. I was surrounded by douchey Dodger fans. I couldn't believe it.
There were a lot of them yesterday.
When Freddie tucked that home run into the right field seats, I saw a grown man cry. He started jumping up and down. He's like, I can't believe it! I can't believe it! I'm like, shut up. You can't believe it.
It's the first inning. You haven't won yet.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, first inning, Freddie hits a two-run home run. He's excited. Yankee fans are distraught. In the bottom of the first inning, after the ball snatcher incident with Gleyber Torres, and we'll get to that later on, Juan Soto walks. Aaron Judge puts together, to his credit, a really good at-bat drawing a walk. I know he's paid to hit the ball over the fence, but I'll never kill a guy for drawing a walk. And you're set up with Jazz Chisholm up instead of Giancarlo Stanton, which I thought was a mistake by Boone. And the Yankees failed. And so they're down 2-0 in the second inning, and it really felt more of the same. And I thought in the bottom of the second inning, when Volpe made the horrible base-running decision on the Austin Wells double, my thought was, oh, my God. Like, this is really how it's going to end.
Yeah.
The Yankees are going to Yankee all the way to the finish line.
No, you can't say that. The Yankees aren't Yankeeing. What are you talking about?
No, no. At that point, I thought that.
You could say being great.
But you know what I mean. From 2022.
Say the Yankees were jetting.
I'm not going to do that.
No, Tiki. The Yankees did Yankee last night when Volpe hit the grand
slam.
Thank
you. That's Yankeeing. Listen, Yankeeing is not crap in the bed.
Sean, you can give me, and you too, Tiki, you can give me the fake optimism. In the second inning, you thought they were Yankeeing.
I thought they were jetting.
No,
I didn't think they were Yankeeing.
You thought this was 2022 all over
again. Later on, when Volpe goes yard, he was Yankeeing.
Well, hold on. Let's get there. Because that's the play and that's the moment that definitely changed everything. Because in the third inning, after Volpe makes the bad base running decision, and I know he scored anyway, but here's why that could have been worse. Austin Wells could have ended up on third base. If he ends up on third base, there's a chance they end up tying that game when Verdugo grounds out in the second inning. So instead of it being 2-2, it's a 2-1 game. But in that third inning, after the hit batsman of Judge, after the Chisholm base hit off the wall, after the walk by Giancarlo, Anthony Rizzo hits that little crappy pop-up to shortstop. And again, you know, you guys can be fake tough guys now. Oh, we won. We Yankeed. We're the best. Did you honestly think in the third inning, down 2-1, after a boneheaded base-running decision, after leaving guys on base, after world champion Anthony Rizzo popped up the shortstop, did you really still have that confidence that the moment was coming for
the
this
fact
game?
That it was 2-1 and not 2-0, I actually felt confident.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't feel like, oh, this is going to be impossible, mainly because it was a bullpen game. You knew eventually there was going to be Dave Roberts was going to put somebody on the mound that the Yankees were going to hit. Mm. You just knew eventually. Now, if it was a starter, if it was Walker Buehler who was just lucking his way through the bad decisions by the Yankees and then ultimately gets hot, then I would have been worried. But, you know, in a bullpen game, you've manufactured a run despite being terrible in the first couple of innings. I actually felt pretty confident. I mean, I thought it was going to be ugly instead of the blowout that it became, but I was actually pretty confident that they were going to win that game after they figured out how to score a run.
I thought Volpe was going to double, so I guess I was negative. I didn't think there was going to be a grand slam. I turned to Chris McMonagle, who was sitting next to me. You know, thank you, Evan Roberts, taking care of me and Chris McMonagle yesterday. Great seats down there. I said, he's getting a hit. He's going to double here. I didn't expect the grand slam, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. Beer drenched down my back. But from that point forward, here's why I also wasn't still fully confident. I didn't expect Luis Gil to have balls the next four innings either, which is another part of this that you know, he danced a couple out of jams. I thought Luis Gil, and I know he, you know, got taken out in the fifth after the Will Smith home run, but I thought Luis Gil surviving after that Freeman homer was really the key to why the Yankees survived last night.
Yeah, I think Luis Gil giving them another inning and a half basically was very, very important. I thought when the Dodgers creeped back in the fifth inning, and remember how they creeped back. They creeped back on a Will Smith cheapy home run.
Correct.
And then Gleyber Torres makes, I think, a bad defensive play when he kind of lollipopped that throw to Volpe on the Freddie Freeman double play ball, which gave the Dodgers an extra run. When the Dodgers are down by a run, And look, I'm IBOing this. My kind of belief was more 50-50 at that point because they did break through with the big hit. They did have the big moment by Anthony Volpe, and he deserves all the credit. But then in the bottom of the fifth inning, right after the Dodgers made it a one-run game, the Dodgers are gifting the Yankees base runners when Tommy Edman makes that error and then Jazz Chisholm draws a walk. And again, they had two on and nobody out. And so what's so funny about last night, and you should take this as a positive more than anything, is that they made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
They did a lot of the things that got them down 3-0. You have two on and nobody out with Stanton, with Rizzo, and Volpe coming up, and you get nothing. And to me, it felt like more missed opportunities by the Yankees. To their credit, their bullpen, specifically Clay Holmes, Mark Leiter, stunningly enough, and I hated that move, by the way, but it worked out. Mark Leiter facing Shohei Ohtani, tying run at the plate. Who the hell felt good about that? Did anybody feel good about that?
No, not at all. But you know what?
It worked out better than game one, Shohei.
Yeah, you're right.
It did. It worked. And Luke Weaver did an amazing job. And so the Yankees, to their credit, were able to overcome the fact that, in my opinion, they played a very flawed game four. They made a lot of the same mistakes they've made all year long. They struggled to get the big hit. They had a defensive miscue because, again, I think that Glaber play on the Freddie Freeman double play was huge. They had a base-running mistake by Jazz Chisholm. Like, they played a very flawed game and won anyway. And they have life now going into Game 5. Yeah. So I rip them, but I give them a lot of credit that despite all those mistakes, they were able to win the game anyway.
They still scored 11 runs despite all those mistakes.
Yes.
And you could blame the Dodger bullpen and whatever. Dave
Tiki's
Roberts.
Done that, not me.
I get all of that. What the Yankees have now today is life.
Yes.
And what they have is hope. And I could tell you as a Yankee fan who was in this building last night and driving in today with the sun shining down, it feels like a mid-June
day. I mean, it's
like
80 degrees in there, it feels like.
What I have discovered down 3-0 and getting that taste is something that very few fan bases get, and I've turned the 3-0 deficit into a positive watching the Yankees survive. This feels freeing, this feels great, and I smell blood in the water with a banged-up Ohtani, a Freeman on an ankle, and your ace going tonight, and suddenly a bottom of the order where Austin Wells has to feel good, Anthony Volpe feels good, even Alex Verdugo feels good. This feels like promise.
Yeah, I love what Austin Wells said, too. That was, I mean, I don't know why that mentality just wasn't there earlier. Just don't be so tight.
Yeah.
Screw it.
Screw it.
We're down 3-0.
That should be the slogan of
this
team now.
Screw it. What do we have to lose? Nothing. But guess what? Just despite winning last night, you still have nothing to lose.
You win tonight, pressure starts to shift.
That's exactly right.
Now, as far as what the Dodgers did last night, the Dodgers did what they've been doing this entire postseason, which is make decisions for the long haul of the series as opposed to the game. But I will tell you where, Tiki, I kind of agree with you. Aaron Boone did something that I loved. I'm going to give him a compliment. And I've been screaming about this on the radio for many, many years, and I feel like I won the argument because managers are now doing it. If I have a top reliever, if I have a reliever that we all agree, you want to call him a closer, call him a closer. I call him the best reliever in my bullpen. I like to use that guy, not just in the eighth inning, not just in the ninth inning, but when it matters the most.
Right.
So Aaron,
just like what you said with Luke Weaver to Susan, when
yes.
you ask if what would happen if Heel got in trouble in the, say, third inning.
Yes.
Bring in Luke Weaver.
Yes. Absolutely. And that's what he did in the seventh inning.
Yes.
He went to Luke Weaver to get Mookie Betts. I probably would have done that sooner. Unfortunately, because of when he made the move to go to Leiter, he didn't have that possibility because of three-batter minimum. So I would have managed that inning a little bit differently. But I wanted Luke Weaver to face Ohtani and Betts. He faces Betts. He strikes him out. He pitches a brilliant eighth inning. At that point, with a two-run lead, and I'm saying this to Renee, who produces Spanish radio and does a brilliant job, Luke Weaver's got to stay in the game. Luke Weaver's got to finish the job.
Yep.
The mistake that Dave Roberts may have made, and it's not our problem, because who cares about the L.A. Dodgers, was in that bottom of the eighth inning, forget about managing to win the game, managed to force Boone to keep Luke Weaver in the game.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Because that can compromise Weaver
in
Game 5.
That's what I mean by not managing his bullpen correctly, or the bullpen use correctly. He allowed the Yankees to just run it up. It got out of control in the eighth, and then all of a sudden, Luke Weaver can sit down, right?
Yes.
Luke Weaver, who pitched 21 pitches, is available tonight.
Yes.
And so it creates an advantage that you don't want to give to the sleeping lion over here. At least they're awake a little bit now, the Yankees. But you know what I'm talking about. They were dead. And you had a chance to, even though they were fighting back to life, to put them back to sleep, and you didn't.
Well, I think that the Dodgers had to be judicious about which relievers they were using. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. They used Ben Kasparius and Daniel Hudson and Landon Knack to keep them in a game. Has most people even heard of most of these guys? So I think that there was always a strategy of, I'm going to use the kind of the, not the back end of my bullpen, basically the front end of my bullpen, the guys that aren't high leverage guys to try to keep me in the game. But I think the big swing, like you said, was he didn't have to keep Weaver in the game for the ninth inning.
No.
Because while Aaron Boone can't care about tomorrow, he can only care about one game. He needed to survive, which is why I would have pitched Cole on short rest. But hey, he survived it. We can all move on.
And he gets Cole today.
I think Weaver getting to be taken out and not pitch the ninth inning was a very, very important moment in this game. But where the Yankees deserve a lot of credit, and Sean probably doesn't even remember, because he said a lot of stuff. You're on the air for 5.5 hours, you forget a lot of crap. But I thought about it last night.
Oh.
Sean started bringing up something that's very uncomfortable for us to talk about, but I'm sorry, we have to talk about it, and that's 2004. Oh. And I know that's a very weird spot for Yankee fans because it's your worst moment as a fan. But right now, that's a guiding light. And Sean brought up Game 4, Yankees-Red Sox, and he brought up something that he probably already forgot. He brought up how the Yankees, leading in that series, actually went up 2-0.
Yep.
And they went up 2-0 on a 2-run home run by one of their superstars. In the Yankees' case, it was A-Rod.
Yep.
In the Dodgers' case, it was Freddie Freeman. Yesterday, I asked everybody, is there anything about this Yankee team that makes you think they're the 2004 Red Sox? And it's easy to say no, until something happens. Until something occurs that makes you say, wait a second. The Yankees were losing 2-0 before you could sit comfortably. And they failed in the first inning. And they failed in the second inning. And they still responded. Last night, the Yankees gave you a little bit, like a crumb of the 2004 Red Sox.
Yeah.
They gave you a little snippet of what it takes to make Major League Baseball history. And that's the thing, that despite all their flaws last night, despite maybe not being confident throughout the game, has to give you hope on this Wednesday afternoon. They gave you a couple of kernels from the 0-4 Red Sox.
Well, I hope that they take the attitude that they had last night that we heard from Austin Wells. And it's kind of like Susan said when she was on, don't let us win one game.
Yep.
Right, because that's when we come after you. That's when we start believing again. And you have to.
And that's what the clubhouse was saying last night, too.
Absolutely.
How can you not?
Especially with Gerrit Cole taking the mound today. I mean, not to say it's an automatic, but he's your ace, and he's paid to be an ace. He's got his regular rest because he didn't pitch on short rest. Go be an ace today. And so if you win game five at home, this place gets electric again. You go on the road, and Friday it turns into, all right, we just got to win two games.
Yep.
It's not
one game. One game. You're playing for one game, then you play for one game.
True. True, but you know what I mean. Like, if you go, if you get back to L.A., if you're the Yankees and you get back to L.A., all it is two games.
That's it. Think about it simply. Right now, it's only three games. I said to you yesterday, it's just a four-game winning streak. They happen. The Yankees had nine of them over the course of the season. Is it really that difficult to win four in a row?
Especially not when Netflix shoved the documentary down our throat.
But keep this in mind, Yankee fans. And I know sometimes with history, Tiki, it's like, it's interesting, but what does it mean? Here's something you should know as you drive to Yankee Stadium tonight or as you get ready to watch tonight's game. More times than not, when you're down 3-0, you're done. And I don't mean in the series. I mean in game four. You're done. In the history of the World Series, only two teams have even forced a game five. If the Yankees win tonight, a game they're favored to win, a game with their ace on the mound, understand the New York Yankees will be the first team ever in the World Series to force a sixth game after being down 3-0. And if you want to include the LCSs, only four times in the history of baseball has a team been down 3-0 and even forced a game six. It happened twice in the late 90s. The Atlanta Braves did it. My Mets did it.
Yeah.
We obviously know about the Yankees blowing it in 04 and the Astros forcing it in 2020.
And that's
it.
That's 41st time, correct?
Yes, 41st time.
41st time that a team has been down 3-0. That's LCS and World Series.
That's all of them.
Right.
Only four times has a team even gotten to a sixth game. And if the Yankees win tonight, they're the only ones in World Series play to force a game six. So it matters that they didn't get swept. Like, they actually sort of defied baseball logic by not getting swept. And when you factor in being down 2-0, and you factor in the ball snatchers, and you factor in Volpe's base running, and you factor in the lack of a big hit to Volpe's grand slam, when you factor all of that in, I think it makes it even more amazing.
I am so giddy, and there was a loud chant in the Grand Hall as I walked out last night.
What was it?
Dave Roberts.
Oh, really?
Dave Roberts.
Really?
Yankee fans smell it. Dave Roberts ruined our lives 20 years ago, and we're ruining his this week.
Well, I texted my cousin last night because he's getting killed by everybody. And I said, Cousin Dave, I wouldn't have done that. We'll get to your calls next, 888-808-1019. As far as the ball snatchers in right field, we've got a lot to say about that, and we'll address it real soon. But there was a moment late in last night's game, kind of a small moment, that could change everything about this World Series. We'll address what it is, and we will be here live from Yankee Stadium throughout the day as we take you right up until 7:25.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk New York sports on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
We are here all day with you live from a beautiful Yankee Stadium right up until the pregame show at 7:25. Coming up at 3, we will address the ball snatchers and everything that happened last night and basically what's happening today to the ball snatchers and how they will not be allowed at Yankee Stadium. We address it coming up at 3 o'clock. Before we get to your calls, late last night at the end of the game, and you could tell me, Teak, you're looking too closely into this, or you could say, wow, that's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very brilliant thing, Evan. Your call. I'm no pressure either way. But I thought there was an at-bat in the bottom of the eighth inning that could change everything about this World Series. So Juan Soto doubled. Great. I mean, good for him. All right. Gets his first base hit of the game. Game at this point is pretty much over. It's 10-4. Gleyber Torres had just celebrated Gleyber Day by hitting that three-run bomb to right field. And Aaron Judge comes up with a runner on second and two outs. And the thought I had was, you know what? If I'm Dave Roberts, I don't want to allow Aaron Judge against basically a batting practice pitcher,
yeah,
in Brett Honeywell Jr. I don't want to allow Aaron Judge to get hot. So I'm either going to walk him or I'm going to drill him. But I can't allow
Aaron. You can't
Aaron.
Drill him because that's fighting words.
Well, you drilled him earlier in the game.
Yeah, but that was probably on a digital.
It was on a digital. So, okay, fine, walk him. Now, maybe not with the four fingers because it's 10-4 in the eighth inning. Probably not going to do that. But I thought to myself, boy, you don't want to let Aaron Judge get hot.
So hold on. Now that you're asking this question, it's going to make me think about it.
Go ahead.
Because at the time, I just said, good for Aaron Judge.
He got
a meaningless base hit that brought in a Juan Soto from second and made it 11-4.
Correct.
But now that you're saying this,
yes,
if you really wanted to continually frustrate Aaron Judge, you should have just walked him.
Yes.
And I don't mean, and like, unintentionally.
No. Sliders away.
No. You should have four-fingered him.
Oh, you four-finger him?
100%.
See, I don't know if I four-finger
him. Because if you four-finger him, he knows you're scared of him, but he's, at the same time, he knows he hasn't done anything to pull himself out of what he's been stuck in.
Right.
And so it's frustrating to him because he doesn't get to look at four more pitches or five more pitches or six or however many the at-bat goes. He's just getting set on first base.
Right.
And it sucks for him because what Aaron Judge is looking for is a rhythm, is a feel,
yes,
is to see pitches come. So to your point, Honeywell allowed him to do that.
Yes.
So if I was Dave Roberts, I would have just said put him on first base.
By the way,
because this doesn't matter anymore.
You could have four-fingered him. You could have thrown him pitches off the plate. The one thing that you flirted with, and we're going to find out if I'm right about this, and Yankee fans better hope I'm right, because then everything changes. I think Aaron Judge may have got hot last night with that base hit in the eighth inning. Hmm. I think that's a dangerous at-bat if you're the Dodgers. If you're a Yankee fan, maybe that's the thing that wakes him up, because his at-bats weren't bad in this game. Like, he drew a walk in the first inning, and
he looked more locked in.
He was very locked. And I don't want to not give him credit for a walk in the first inning, even though I had the same thought I had from Game 3, which is go hit a two-run home run,
right,
go respond to Freddie Freeman. But he put together a great at-bat. And then he got hit by a pitch in the third inning, which really kind of started the rally where Volpe hit the grand slam. And then he reached on an error, hit the ball really hard, but it was right at the shortstop. And then he popped up the center field. Like, it wasn't a breakthrough game. That base hit in the eighth inning could be the breakthrough moment. And if he gets hot today, and that obviously leads to the Yankees winning more and more, you may look back at an at-bat that Sean probably missed because he was shoving a hot dog down his face.
Actually, no.
Well, that's what you blame Dave Roberts for. Not for conceding the game. You just let Aaron Judge get hot.
Yeah, I think it's blaming Dave Roberts, but more than that, from a Yankee perspective, that could just be a really important at-bat for Aaron Judge. And give him credit. And then, do you know what he did right after he got the base hit? I know it's 10-4, so it's tough to pay attention. It's 11 o'clock at night. These little things matter. You know what he did?
No.
He stole second.
Yep.
Immediately!
Yeah.
He did.
Judge was like, oh, geez, I'm on first base. Let's do this crap.
It's so funny that you said, do you think that wakes him up? Because me and Big Mac sat there,
yes,
along with Brandon Tierney, and said to ourselves, Judge can't homer here.
What?
Why? Because it's a waste?
Because it would almost be worse for him if he homered up 10-4 in that spot.
I disagree.
And then
with
go,
that.
Oh, now let's have it.
You're right.
Happy it stayed in the ballpark, and maybe that's the guy to keep it.
I get that fans do that. I try to stay away from that crap.
Yeah.
It's a meaningless home run. If it gets the guy hot, then it's worth it.
I understand that, but he still got to get hot and show it. The point was, up 10-4, if that was the moment he picked the homer, what were we even saying today? And, of course, he tacks on. The base hit is almost, I think, better for him.
You think Aaron Judge gets hot now, Teague?
Of course I do.
Look at that. That's right. I'm telling you, that at bat.
He was my pick last night to heat up.
He's been red hot on that.
I should have said.
Stay tuned
Volpe
around 7 o'clock should've for our picks Volpe to heat up, brought to you by Slowman.
Right.
Who did you say last night?
I said Judge.
Oh, so you didn't get it right.
I mean, he did. No. He scored a run. He got a big hit.
Yeah, I mean, he got a hit.
Look, the
RBI.
The pick,
he walked.
The pick
scored.
The pick to hit last night was Anthony Volpe or Austin Wells.
Yeah.
Which is a credit that it was those guys who ended up getting some of the biggest hits. Let's get to your calls. We'll address the ball snatchers coming up at 3 o'clock. 888-808-1019 is the toll-free number. Let's go to Andy in Torrington, Connecticut. How are you, Andy?
Good. How about you guys? First time calling you. I've talked to Keith a lot. Evan, you're the baseball historian. How come nobody has made Freddie Freeman uncomfortable in the box? Why is he not hitting the butt, the back, thrown behind him? Where is Clemens? Where is Gibson? I don't understand.
He got brushed back good last night.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to pitch inside because you want to try to make them feel uncomfortable, and I think we've seen that to a degree. But this is just not that world anymore.
Don't.
For the most part, you're just not drilling guys. You know, I think the better approach would be, and I think this is a fair question if you want to ask it, was after Betts doubles and there's a runner on second and one out, do you ponder not facing Freddie Freeman? Do you ponder the thought that as dangerous as Teoscar and Muncy are, I'll be okay with them beating me more so than a guy who's hit a home run in every World Series game.
Yeah, the last six games he's played in, he's hit a home run. So, I definitely would. And and you can't beat him because there's not that kind of animosity towards him. And so it would. I don't know if it would serve a purpose. It'd serve a purpose if it was, I don't know, who's someone who, nobody trolls anybody on anymore in baseball. There's no, like.
Well, fans troll players by grabbing balls out of their glove.
Yeah, I know that, but I mean, like, who do you hate on the Dodgers right now?
Shohei Ohtani, but not because of him, but because of the way the media kisses his ass.
Yeah, but so there's nobody hateable.
Right. Kiki Hernandez.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
He's got a very punchable face.
Maybe. That face with those Maybe. Stupid goggles that looks like he's swimming 6 feet under.
Yes, that might be the guy. That might be the one. But not Freddie Freeman. And by the way, thanks, Evan, because you made me look up his story last night, and now I really like him.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, I really like his story.
But it's okay. And this is the beautiful thing about sports, especially with Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman could be the greatest guy in the world. I've known that for a long time. That doesn't change the fact that if you're a Met fan, and now welcome, Yankee fans, mm-hmm. how are you? You hate him!
But he didn't win the World Series.
That is true, but he has hit a home run in every World Series game.
True.
I guess the positive way to look at it is you're due to get him out.
Yeah, talk about four fingers. Hey, yeah, Freddie, take a walk.
I think that's the thing you got to consider. So going back to the first inning, our last caller says, drill him. I thought after Betts got the double, that, you know what, I got a base open. He's so locked in. Mm-hmm. He hit a home run a day earlier. He hit a home run 2 days earlier. Maybe I don't face him. And remember, he'll fell behind 2-1. That's the thing I would consider, where you basically dare Teoscar or Muncy, I'm going to go after you. I'm not going to lose yet again to Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
And that's something you got to consider. Let's go to Anhel in Brooklyn. What's up, Anhel?
Hey, how you doing? First time caller.
Welcome aboard. Thank you very much for making that call on a World Series Wednesday. What's on your mind?
So I wanted to talk about how, you know, we think Jack Flaherty isn't the guy away from L.A. We know that. Mm-hmm. The Yankees are facing him again for a second time.
Yes.
What's to say the Dodgers don't have that same mentality as far as Gerrit Cole? They're facing him a second time. And Cole hasn't necessarily been playoff Cole in this postseason. Well, what do you think about that?
That facing him for a second time poses an advantage for this L.A. Dodger offense? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the same advantage that you'd say the Mets had when they were playing the Dodgers and they had Flaherty the second time.
Can I tell you why I disagree with that? Jack Flaherty is not Gerrit Cole.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll start right there.
It's a simple answer.
I think it's a very simple answer. So, look, let's look at history. And by history, let's look at this season. Let's look at this current state of Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole made his first postseason start this year in Game 1 against the Kansas City Royals, and it was a very shaky start. He pitched 5 innings, he allowed 4 runs, he gave up a home run, the only home run he's given up so far in this World Series, and we'd all agree it was not a great start. Now, yes, the Yankees overcame it, they beat Kansas City, fantastic. His second start in the postseason came against that same Kansas City Royal team. Now, before you just besmirch the Royals and say they suck, they are a Major League Baseball team who made the postseason, who, based on Angel's question, which is a fair one to ask, got to see Cole right after seeing him the first time. So it's at least a comparable answer to the question he's asking. Let's go through Gerrit Cole's numbers that day. 7 innings, 1 run, 0 walks.
Right.
Any questions?
No. I mean, that's why it's not the same.
It's not the same.
In theory, it is, but in practice, it's not, because Gerrit Cole is a Cy Young winner. Gerrit Cole is an actual true ace, probably the only one that's in this game and this series right now. And so you're not going to believe, I don't know, the mentality that you have a beat on him because you've seen him a second time.
Right, and look, I think it's fair, because Gerrit Cole is one of the great pitchers in baseball, to say, okay, Evan, that's a great example.
Right.
Can you show me more? And the answer is, of course I can. Gerrit Cole in 2022 pitched Game 1 against Cleveland, and he was very good. Then he came back and pitched Game 4 against Cleveland and pitched 7 innings and allowed 2 runs. If you go back to 2020, I've talked about this a lot because it was on short rest, he pitched better when he came back and faced the Rays a second straight time on short rest. You want to go back to the World Series of 2019, or do we not count that because he was an Astro? When he faced the Nationals, a second time, he went from 7 innings, 5 runs to 7 innings, 1 run. So what do we learn from all of this? What we've learned is that Gerrit Cole is better when he sees a team a second time
around. I think what we're saying is that you're not actually seeing him a second time. He's seeing you for the second
time. Yes, I think that's a great way to look at it.
Right, because he seems like the kind of athlete or technician that is going to dissect every little thing about his at-bats with you. And by the way, I know this just from knowing some pitchers. You saw it when you interviewed who'd you interview for your Rico?
Adam Wainwright.
Adam Wainwright.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, whatever you think about him. But I listened to that Rico. I encourage people to go find it.
Oh, thank you, Tiki.
He remembers every freaking pitch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Almost with every batter he ever faced. And it makes no sense to me. But you know who else does that? CeCe does that.
Yeah.
Like, you ask CeCe about an at-bat in a game, he can think about it and recall come it. Down and
well,
recall
I,
it.
I think...
And so guys like that who are excellent at their craft, they can they have this photographic memory. I'm not saying they have it in all things, but they have it when it comes to their execution on the baseball field. So if you got it wrong, say Gerrit Cole, the first time against Mookie Betts or whoever it may be, trust me, I don't think he's doing it again.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to look at it that Gerrit Cole is one of the best pitchers in baseball. Now, he may not pitch great tonight. Who knows? It's baseball. I'm going to bet that he's going to pitch well because he's Gerrit Cole. And I'm also going to bet, based on his track record and based on what you talked about with his mind, that it's actually going to be more of an advantage for him having already faced these guys once before. Just remember this, and this is one of the big advantages the Yankees have. I do respect Jack Flaherty.
Yeah.
I don't want to make it seem like he's some kind of bum.
Another great guy whose story Evan put me into.
Yeah,
like,
he's a wonderful
love
guy.
The guy.
You know what story you're going to put on to the 2024 Yankees?
But Jack Flaherty's not Gerrit Cole. And yeah, when the Mets saw him a second time, and I think that's where a lot of this comes from.
Yes.
That we all watch, whether you're a Yankee fan or a Met fan, the NLCS, and you saw Flaherty from game one look unhittable, and then all of a sudden in game five, he's taking one for the team, basically.
You know what those two pitching storylines tell me? The Yankees already have the post-game DJ set up, and you can hear it. We're going back to Cali.
I like your confidence, man. Because you felt sort of beaten at times yesterday, but then it all turned when you had that resurrection of Yankee legends late in the show.
Wait, what was the moment that made it the greatest sporting event you've ever been at?
The Volpe Grand Slam.
So you're saying yesterday's Yankee game was the greatest sporting event you've ever been to?
In person, Giants Atlanta 2011 Wild Card game was up there. Stadium Series last year. I've seen a lot of playoff games. A lot of times walking out a loser, unbelievable. That Grand Slam, first Yankee Grand Slam in the World Series since 98. Tino, unbelievable.
Can I ask you a question without you getting mad at me?
Absolutely.
Actually, Tiki's going to get mad at me because he's going to say I'm negative. Let's say the Yankees lose.
It doesn't matter if you're negative because it's not your team.
Exactly. So who cares? I'm being an IBO.
Or you just being a hater.
No.
That's all good.
No hating from me. I got no hate in my bones because I hate everybody. And so when you hate everybody and you're a bitter little man, you're basically fair to everybody. It's actually the way it works. Let's say the Yankees lose tonight.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Will you still look back at being at Game 4 of the World Series as your greatest sporting experience? Or would you say fart in the win World Series win?
Well, here's the difference. From home, I would say fart in the win World Series. Being in the building and experiencing that, whatever happens the rest of the series will still be up there. I witnessed my Yankees win a World Series game with a grand slam for the first time since 1998 with a homegrown kid.
Yeah.
Period. Stop. Best sport.
No, good for
you.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy for Big Mac. I'm happy for BT. And I'm so glad I wasn't in that seat because I was supposed to sit next to Sean and Brandon, but I thought Big Mac A would enjoy it more. Mm-hmm. It was the right thing to do. And later I found out.
Yeah, too.
What was that?
Boy, me, Chris, and BT.
Yeah.
That was three old linemen.
Three big guys. I mean, that's a lot of sausage.
But
in
Colt
there,
was
man.
There, too, though, right?
Colt was all the way on the other end. He got it. It was us three squeezed together.
Nice. Nice.
Well, I'm glad he had a good time. As a 9-year-old, to be able to experience that, that's freaking awesome. It really
is. He was into it. He was leading the rally charge, BT saw.
Yeah. No, I'm happy for him because when I took my kid to his first playoff game, the Mets got killed. It was that did not go the same way. But I'm happy for him. But I heard, Tiki, and I'm a scorer. You know me, I got my scorebook out. I heard that after Volpe hit the Grand Slam, people started throwing their beer in the air, and my book would have gotten soaked.
It would have been done.
It went right down my back.
Isn't your other book already kind of soaked?
Yeah, but this is a playoff book. It's fresh.
I'm a loser.
Yeah, I have a fresh book.
But if it's fresh and it's soaked with beer,
yeah.
Isn't that part of the ambiance of the book that gets to live with it
forever? I want to be as respectful when I say this.
I mean, seriously.
Tiki. The last thing my playoff book needs is World Series beer from Yankees.
But would you not have, like, very presciently closed the book?
Yes.
Real quickly. As soon as you saw the ball get contacted, close the book.
Yes.
It's got a plastic cover on it.
Yes.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Now, the edges may get frayed a little bit, but that's character.
It is character, but I don't know. You were saying about being a hater. I don't know if I want beer stains from Yankees Dodgers. It should have my tears is really what it should have. Let's go to Andre on Long Island. How you doing, Andre?
How's it going?
We're doing well. How are you, man?
I'm just,
I'm just happy that Gleyber got his payback from that robbery, you know, in L.A.
So, oh, the home run. Yeah, I mean, Gleyber's been involved in a lot of robberies lately, but yeah, that home run that Gleyber hit, and look, he's had a very good postseason, but that was so important because, as Tiki even mentioned, it eliminated having to keep Luke Weaver in the game. So even though it turned a game that maybe you were confident you were going to win anyway, I thought that was a really important home run for Gleyber Torres, his second of the postseason. So, yes, absolutely big moment for Gleyber Torres.
Tim Mesa got shook and awake. He wasn't aware he was coming into the game.
I know. It was like, I thought Marcus Stroman was actually going to finally get into a game at that point. Let's go to Marty calling from Hoboken. What's up, Marty?
I'm just saying about Volpe. You know, he's 23 years old. He was a Gold Glove. He won the Gold Glove last year. He's up for this year to win the Gold Glove. And what he did last night was amazing. It was fantastic, right?
Yeah.
So this guy is going to be a complete stud. He's 23 years old. So he doesn't hit. All these people say stuff about him. I'm telling you, this kid is a complete stud. And
you know what, Marty? He had a great postseason moment last night, and he deserves a lot of credit. I'm sure he did not sleep an ounce last night. And that was his first home run in a month and a half, basically. Yeah. I think he's had one home run in the last 2 months. But his career is a different story. Like, what he becomes, to me, is very different than the moment he had last night. The moment he had last night was awesome, and it was huge for the team, and it changed the trajectory of that game. But Anthony Volpe's had 2 full years at the major league level. He hasn't hit enough. Yeah. Doesn't mean he'll never hit enough, but it was a long way to go before we know what his career is.
I don't even necessarily care about that, about what he's done previously or what his future is going to be, because that's obviously unpredictable. It is unknowing, as is want to be said. But what I do appreciate is that yesterday when we were talking about this Yankee team, it was how none of their stars were taking advantage of their moments. None of the guys were saying, "This is my moment, and I'm gonna master it." And I give Anthony Volpe so much credit and kudos for mastering that moment and taking advantage of it and making something memorable happen.
No doubt.
Like, I remember as a player when, I'd rip off a 70-yard run, regardless of what the circumstances were, it's like that was my moment.
Yeah.
Right? It was my chance to do something, and I loved doing it. And I felt like too many of these Yankees, they didn't know what they couldn't do it, and he did it.
He did.
So whether it was intentional or not, or if he was extra dialed in, or he had he did it in the moment, and that's something that's special. That's greatness. When I talk about watching and wanting to see greatness, having moments like that is greatness, and I love seeing that.
And
why you watch sport, by the way.
No doubt.
You don't watch sport for boringness and routine and that was forgettable.
Well, sometimes.
Nobody wants that.
I mean, that's why I watch Nets games every night. I just want to be bored and go to sleep. But nice game last night. I was watching that.
Red Bulls won too, by the way.
Oh, nice. Good for you.
Red Bulls in the playoffs.
The thing is,
they beat the Columbus Crew.
Besides Volpe,
nobody cares.
No,
you know who did care?
You,
Nate Hackett.
He was there?
I talked to Nate last night.
Well, I'm glad.
We talked to Red Bulls hockey.
Did you tell him that you defended his honor?
I did.
Nice.
Is he ever speaking to Tommy Lugauer again?
The bottom of the Yankee order last night did a lot. It wasn't just Anthony Volpe. Austin Wells had the double, hit the home run, drew a walk. Alex Verdugo had that amazing 11-pitch at-bat in the eighth inning, which led to a run.
Yeah, on the radio, on the TV broadcast, we're like, it's still going.
That was unbelievable.
Forever.
You know, it's funny. You talk about greatness. That's the kind of thing I love. I love long at-bats. Like, you give me a 10, 11, 12-pitch at-bat, there's nothing better. In fact, here's how much I love long at-bats. About 3 years ago, in the middle of March, I'm visiting my parents. Middle of March. Just think about the calendar. And there was a spring training at-bat that was 23 pitches.
Spring training? Are you watching a spring training?
Alert! You already know the answer to that.
Oh, no.
But I remember thinking to myself, this is one of the great moments I think I've ever seen.
A 23
at-pitch at-bat?
Who was it?
Luis Guillorme. It was a 23-pitch at-bat against Jordan Hicks.
Oh, God.
And I remember saying, this is unbelievable. Now, Verdugo had an 11-pitch at-bat.
That sounds entirely forgettable.
I'm a loser. Wasn't for me. But to do that in the World Series, and it eventually ended with him driving a run in.
Right.
Remember, he hit that ground ball to second base, and it was a fielder's choice, and the runner was able to score. It was Volpe, who was too fast. That was the kind of at-bats. And they got a lot of that from the bottom of the order. Volpe, Wells, and Verdugo.
Yeah.
5 for 10 with 2 walks.
Yeah, that's not
That's 7, 8, 9.
Great night. Also, inherent flaw, if anybody at Yankee Stadium's listening, nobody in the crowd had any idea how many pitches were thrown to Verdugo in that at-bat.
Yeah, so that's something they need to fix on the scoreboard, and I'm glad you brought
isn't
that
it
up.
Isn't it on the scoreboard?
The total pitches for pitcher is up there, not for the at-bat.
So they just added that to Citi Field, and I remember saying, hey, note to self, this is great. Because you're so right. Like, how would you know how long that
Because
at-bat
it was
is?
A big part of the TV broadcast.
Yeah.
It was one of the things they kept talking about.
And we had no idea. We knew it was a lot of pitchers. And at that point, it could have been 20, it could have been 10.
No, I agree. Right. In fact, because I was watching at that part of the game, I moseyed a lot last night, getting to that later. I was in this Spanish broadcast booth where we are now, and I was hanging out with Renee, who does a great job producing, and we were like, how many pitches is that? And we were racing to the MLB app to see where we're at.
Wait, you're not tracking in your book?
No, because when there's 2 strikes and a foul ball, no way to track it.
Oh,
true story. Yeah, if it's 2-2 and you keep fouling a ball
Dude,
off.
That's a flaw in the scoring system.
What is Bob Carpenter doing?
I agree. By the way, Teague, I've thought about this, and we've had meetings. How do we fix this?
That's like a golfing scorecard where you figure out how many putts you had.
I don't know what that means. I should ask the morning guys. I have no idea what any of that means.
Geez.
When we come back, more of your phone calls live from Yankee Stadium. Plus, we address one of the most bizarre, crazy incidences you'll ever see at a baseball game. 2 grown men try to grab a baseball out of an All-Stars glove. And somebody on this show, you can guess who, wants to passionately defend their honor. We'll talk about it coming up live from Yankee Stadium. Evan and Tiki on the Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.